many high school seniors are anxiously awaiting acceptance letters from colleges and universities. But there's a group of students who don't even apply to the top schools they'd be sure to get into, schools with large endowments that would cover most, if not all, of their education. They are low-income, high achievers who mainly live outside of the big cities. NPR's Shireen Marisol Meraji reports on three reasons why these seniors are not applying.
First reason, location, location, location.
Thank you for choosing McDonald's. This is Kristen. What can I get for you today?
When Kristen Hannah Perez isn't studying for her AP classes, practicing the euphonium, she's made All-State Band, or running bingo at the local nursing home, she's working at the only McDonald's in Salina, Texas.
Anything else?
No, thank you.
All right, if everything looks short on screen, it'll be 1:40 at the first window. Thank you.
Where she's the shift manager. Her employees on this day are fellow Salina high schoolers.
I'm Jackie Cassell, and I'm a senior.
I'm Kayla Billy, and I'm a senior.
People have come through the drive-thru on their horse. Yeah, there's tractors that slow you down and make you late for school. That's how country it is.
Yeah, we get made fun of by other schools for, like, we're basically the rednecks.
The total population for the city of Salina is under 7,000, and it's about 40 minutes outside of Dallas.
A student from certain metropolitan areas in the United States is really likely to end up getting recruited by a selective college if he or she is a low-income, high achiever.
That's Stanford economist Caroline Hawksby. She researches the effects of education on economic growth. Hawksby says there are two ways college recruiters go about finding low-income, high achievers. They visit selective schools, magnet schools, and schools you have to take a test to get into.
Like Stuyvesant in New York or the Lowell School in San Francisco.
Schools like that make up 3% of the U.S. high school total. Next, recruiters go to schools in high-poverty zip codes. But that formula also works best in the densest metropolitan cities like New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, or Dallas, Texas. So not Salina, Texas.
Anywhere from 8/9 to 9/10 of the low-income high achievers in the United States, you really cannot find them via one of these two methods.
Hawksby defines a low-income high achiever as anyone who gets a 29 or above on their ACTs, a 1,300 combined on their SATs, with a family income of less than $41,000 a year, like Kristen, who we ordered from earlier at McDonald's. I had her take me on a driving tour of Salina on a cold, wet Saturday night. We started in the town square, which looks like it belongs on the set of an old Western. Outdoor speakers blare country music day and night, sun or rain.
I hate country music.
Kristen's family lives in the tiny downtown, which is where many of the older homes are. There's farmland that surrounds it, some fancy new tract home developments, and churches. Lots of churches.
That's one of the many. There's one right there. One more if you go down that way. Two more that way.
Faith, family, and football is the unofficial Salina motto. Kristen's family runs a church out of their house. It's Spanish language Pentecostal, and when they're not in worship, her mom works at a Christian radio station, and her dad's a landscaper. She's the youngest of four girls.
You know, so, like, I've never liked asking my parents for money. Like, got to pay for my AP test, SAT test, ACT test.
Kristen got a 33 on her ACTs. That's the top 2%. She's taking AP Calculus, AP Lit, AP Spanish, AP Chem, and a college econ and government course online.
Okay, you're going to turn left. I'll show you. This is the way I go to school.
We drove by Salina High, a beautiful new campus with a huge gym and sprawling parking lot. And as we passed, I asked Kristen where her guidance counselor says she should apply to college.
Apply to Texas A&M Commerce because they will give you a full ride. Don't apply to UT because they won't give you any money. End of story.
Now we've arrived at reason number two for why low-income high achievers don't apply to selective universities.
Your typical guidance counselor in the United States has about 400 students with whom he or she is trying to deal.
Hawksby adds that guidance counselors may not have gone to selective colleges themselves. They're really busy, and their highest priority students aren't usually the good kids with the good grades.
And so the guidance counselor is going to say, hey, you really should go to college. You should go to a four-year college. And here is a college that I know of in our area that I think does a good job.
At Sunday service at her house, Kristen's dad, Ezekiel Perez, strums a cherry red electric guitar and sings with about a dozen people sitting on folding chairs in the living room. Kristen plays the electric bass, and her oldest sister, Christina, is on the drums. Kristen's mom, Sandy, sits in the front row, helping throughout the service.
We didn't go to college, you know, and of course my parents, they were migrant workers, so we never, you know, thought about this as, you know, being possible in our family.
Sandy finished an ESL high school program in Texas for farm workers' kids, and her husband came from Durango, Mexico, when he was a teenager. Sandy says she's always encouraged her children to pursue their education, but never thought top-tier schools were an option.
I mean, that's out of our league, out of our range.
And here we are at reason number three. Oftentimes, parents of low-income high achievers didn't go to college, and when they think of selective schools, they think of pricey East Coast Ivies like Harvard and Yale. The obvious conclusion, out of our league, out of our range. Caroline Hawksby says it's counterintuitive, but they're wrong.
They are cheaper for low-income high achievers than colleges that have fewer resources.
Which means for a low-income high achiever, Harvard or Yale could be free. Free. But recruiters aren't visiting to tell you that. Your guidance counselor might not know, and your parents are saying they just can't afford it. So yeah, why apply? Hawksby says there's strong evidence that when students graduate from a selective college, they're better off financially.
You want to think on the order of at least $500,000 over their lifetime. That's a very conservative estimate.
Stanford economist Caroline Hawksby says if we care about social mobility in the U.S., we need to find a way to make higher ed opportunities more obvious to these low-income high achievers. Students like Kristen Hannah Perez from Salina, Texas. She beat the odds, by the way. Ended up applying to Dartmouth, where an education, including room and board, costs around $66,000 a year. And she got in. She'll be paying around $5,000 with help from work study and a summer job. Shireen Marisol Meraji, NPR News.